All right. So let me get this to go up. Is someone else controlling the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I was trying to move it. And that's probably why I couldn't. All right. So anyway, so we'll call this meeting of February 18th, 2025 to order as a special meeting, a Zoom type meeting. And if you could pull the staff group down, I could read the names of who's here. I can see Trista. So she's here. Trista, are you here?
I'm here.
We can have
Jace is there.
Gary, we can have Jessica call roll call for you.
That would be excellent.
Okay, so we'll go ahead with the roll call. So we have virtually Gary Begley.
Here.
Trista Guzman Glover.
Here.
Marshall Knox.
Here.
Brandon McFadden. Brandon McFadden.
Can you hear me?
There we go.
We can hear you now.
Present.
Thank you. We have Chase Turrentine.
Present.
Tracy Wilkinson.
Here.
And then board staff members, we have present Frank McGalley.
Present.
Kelly Shepherd.
Present.
Myself, Jessica Carranza. We have Isabella Legowski.
Present.
And Rosa Rodriguez. And for legal counsel present, we have Jean Galvin.
Present.
Okay, so roll call is complete. My agenda I'm looking at doesn't show me the topics of the agenda. I believe we have two.
So the first item we do have on the agenda, Gary, is call for public comment. However, I am not seeing anybody here from the public this morning.
Yes.
So I think we can move on to the next item, which is review.
All right, so we'll skip that. All right, so review consideration possible action on House Bill 2031, Boards and Commission repeal. Can you review this with us and give us an opportunity to understand?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. As you're all aware from our discussion last month on this, House Bill 2031 moves to do a number of items. However, specifically impacting this board is a complete repeal of all statutory items regarding the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board. So in essence, this bill completely eliminates the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board and is scheduled to be in committee. It is on the committee agenda for 2 o'clock this afternoon at the legislature.
Okay, well, obviously that would be difficult from the boards. I believe in the board and the board's mission. I've seen the board do a lot of good and protect the public, which is what it's meant for. So I think that we need to discuss this for a moment and have the board take a position and direct Mr. McGalley to act on our behalf. So do we have input on this topic? They won't
so
have
a clarifying question. Obviously we're directly affected by this. What, I mean, does this present a conflict of interest in us standing in support or against? I mean, our own elimination, I imagine they would just presume we would be against that, but what are we legally allowed to, and I guess this is legal question. What are
I believe our question is whether or not we can lobby, have the board take a position and instruct Mr. McGalley to lobby one direction or another, support or against this bill. And I think that's what we're here today to do, is take that position.
Mr. Turteen, this is Jean Galvin. The board is not prohibited from taking a position on this bill.
Okay, thank you. Now, strategically, does it make sense to oppose this bill and potentially Streisand affect this, or just remain quiet and let the normal processes take effect? This is more of a Capitol Hill question, and I'm not on Capitol Hill, so I'm not proposing one way or another. I'm just curious what the what the more strategic effect would be, presuming we don't want to, dissolve the board.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Member Tarantine, I think there's a couple of options, right? So I probably should have shared that, and I apologize. From us, and I actually appreciate the question around strategically, what should we do, right? And I think there are a couple of options for us. We can, silently oppose the bill, where we simply just, I can sign in opposition of the bill on behalf of the board. I can sign as one option. I can sign in opposition of the bill and request to speak in the committee meeting this afternoon. Or we can do neither of those items and let it play out. I will tell you, just based on, and Trista is probably a little more, Member Guzman-Glover is probably a little more in tune to some of the actual inner workings of the legislative process, although I believe you're still technically on maternity leave. I do think that this bill is going to, no matter what we do today, this bill is going to pass out of committee today. It is going to pass out of committee. So I think that I want to be transparent in saying that everything I'm seeing, based on the fact that the co-chair of the committee that it's going, it's the co-chair, the chair and the co-chair of the committee are co-sponsors of the bill. And it's a five-person committee with three Republicans and two Democrats. So I have there, it's going to pass out of committee today. So I think it's more about then strategically what the next steps are. And again, I think our options on the table are, quietly opposing the bill by signing on in opposition, or signing on in opposition and directing me to speak in committee today in opposition, or doing neither, I think are the three options on the table today.
And when I looked over the bill, I don't know if you can speak to the logic here, but it looked like there were a handful of boards, but it wasn't a universal striking of all occupational licensing boards, which I know has been, looked at pretty heavily by, the Arizona government for a while. Do you know why we were selected compared with, some of the other boards?
Mr. Chair, Member Turrentine. I will say that it was actually the week before session started, the sponsor of the bill posted a video on Twitter where he indicated he was wanting to eliminate a makeup artistry license. Anybody who's in tune with our statutes and regulations, we have this board, whether it was when it was separate, even did not, has not actually regulated makeup artistry since like 2014, I believe, is when that changed.
All right.
I think there's an attempt or a stand being made, and there's not a lot of understanding behind the fact that there's a lot more to this than just makeup artistry. You are correct. It's a handful of boards and commissions that look like to be. I'm just trying to pull up right now the summary so I can read to you which one it is. They're looking to get rid of the repeals, the Arizona Citrus Research Council, the Cotton Research and Protection Council, Arizona Beef Council, Student Transportation Advisory Council, Spaying and Neutering of Animals Special License Plate, Companion Animal Spay and Neuter Committee, the Barbary and Cosmetology Board, the Acupuncture Board, the Arizona Commission on the Arts, and Tourism Advisory Council.
Are there any specific accusations of regulatory overreach? So I should know this probably, but I know we recently brought, eyebrows or eyelashes and eyebrows under our purview. I thought that was by specific passing of a statute in the legislature. Okay. I'm seeing nodding, so good. I'm not crazy. So are there... That seems like a hodgepodge, kind of a collection of miscellaneous boards and other councils. are there specific accusations of regulatory overreach or something to that effect?
Chase, I think with this specific representative and some of the things that this legislature is doing, they're trying to mimic the DOGE agency at the federal level. And so kind of just attacking everything. I don't believe I saw anything from this representative running the bill that said, I specifically want to get rid of these things for these reasons. It's just kind of part of an effort down at our legislature to match what the federal government is doing with their DOGE council.
Lovely. And sorry for monopolizing so much time then. I think we're in a very good spot with Frank leading everything up with the director reports that we get every single month or every single meeting, the effectiveness of the way we spend our money, and the fact that, I mean, I know we kind of, you know, as a board, we kind of pick at nits around the edges. But I don't think we are overly punitive or, I don't think that our board demonstrates any, regulatory creep where we're trying to, you know, accumulate more power to ourselves, or have, you know, any negative effects. I think we're pretty lean as far as, what we, you know, how we regulate our industry. And, I think Frank, assuming that there hasn't been, you know, he hasn't just been really smart and making everything up, because I haven't audited him and I have no reason to suspect that. We are getting audited, so even there, that supports him. Everything I have ever seen as far as stewardship of taxpayer funds from Frank looks really, really good. So I don't know if that looks like a specific, we are opposing this bill, but if we were trying to take ourselves out of the crosshairs, I think Frank has positioned us very well for that, and the financial stewardship of taxpayer funds. And from a practical effect, I think as a board, we have not overstepped our bounds in any way that I think a reasonable person, and just cards on the table, I'm pretty much let's cut government spending everywhere. That's great. That's probably come out in some of the conversations we've had as a board, but I've not seen anything that looks like government overreach or regulatory creep. And as such, I think we would have a very, very good case because of Frank's management to say, look, we run a tight ship on both the department level and the board level. I think you're taking aim at the wrong spot. So anyway, I will let other people speak who have their hands raised. I've monologued for too long. Apologies.
Well, we appreciate that information. That input's helpful to all of us. Brandon, did you have something?
Yeah. Kelly, go ahead. You are first.
Okay. Thank Kelly, you want to?
Thank you. So Chair Bagley, Member Turrentine, this is just a point of information. The very last line of the bill reads, this act may be cited as the, quote, abolition of functionally unnecessary excessive regulators act, end quote. So just a point of information.
Okay, that's important to recognize. Brandon?
Yeah, so, you know, just overall, generally looking at this whole situation with the makeup, causing a red flag with the whole industry. I know it's too late, last minute to trim or, are not so hazardous to.
I'm sorry, excuse me. Brendan, you are kind of cutting in and out, so we're not catching everything you're saying.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's better.
Yep.
If there's a way in the near future to minimize our who we regulate as far as the industry, so maybe somehow separate ties from the actual whole makeup artistry part and let them, you know, have their whole industry and focus more on barber and cosmetology.
Yeah, we don't currently regulate the makeup.
Which I think speaks to part of, if we ask Frank to speak, that's a good statement to make, that this board, other than by statute as passed by the legislature, we have never, I think there was a, this is going back like 10 years, there was an attempt to like regulate like hair braiding way back when. And I know that's where that probably caused some heartburn, you know, as far as overreach, but I don't think we have any aims or desire to expand beyond, you know, what the statutes have given us, or the statutes have told us that we should oversee. And I think if we could, forgive me, I don't have the specifics in front of me, but if we can point to specific instances where, you know, look, there's, you know, this regulation prevents these specific public harms, we can look back at our cases and say, you know, look, we had, you know, people who have, you know, live cats roaming in and out of their shops and stuff like that, which, you know, cat lovers, great, but you know, that's not sanitary. You know, we can point to specific examples like that and say, look, this is the kind of stuff we're trying to prevent. If you want to be hyper libertarian, which, you know, I'm moderately sympathetic to, and say, all right, you know, it's purely on the consumer to protect themselves, just buyer beware. Okay, that's the position the legislature is going to take. But in as much as there is, you know, a public to protect, here's where we stand, here's what we're doing, and here's how we're running our ship. I think that's that seems like a good strategic move from our perspective. And since I'm a public member, I'm just a taxpayer, so that would hit well for me.
So. Yeah, I agree. Justin, did you have some input?
Yes, I personally think that we should have Frank sign in opposition, but not speak. Just knowing how this legislature is, I wouldn't want to try and give them any fuel. And I also think it's a futile effort, to Frank's point. It's absolutely going to pass out of committee. Yeah. It might even pass out of the House. I don't really see it going all the way. There are multiple commissions and boards on here that huge lobbies are going to come out against, because of the nature of what they are. So I don't really, at the end of the day, see this making it toward the finish line or up to the finish line at all. And Governor Hobbs would never sign this bill into law. So instead of creating additional heartburn for the agency and for Frank, I think it would be, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who are signing in to speak on this already, maybe even within the barbering and cosmetology industry, that I think we can simply take a, you know, sign in against it and not necessarily need to go and speak. I think that will be seen as by this representative as government just wanting to continue to hold on to its, you know, whatever related to this bill. And I just think it's going to cause some, maybe even just consternation from the dais to Frank. And it just kind of seems unnecessary when there's going to be a lot of people already coming out to speak about this and against it.
Good input. Well, do we need more information, or do we feel like we're ready to vote on a direction on this? Does anyone want additional information?
Just to add on to Trista or clarify, should given that that's our strategy and the point about Governor Hobbs, she's going to veto this if it passed, and you know, even that passing seems like a stretch. Do we even want to sign on as opposing it? Like, does that benefit us in any way? Or do we just, okay, will of the legislature, we're, you know, we're here to, we're public servants, we're here to serve the public. If the public through its representatives say, get rid of us, go ahead. But we kind of know that that's not going to be the, it's going to hit an insurmountable roadblock in the form of Governor Hobbs. So do we, is there even a benefit strategically to opposing it?
I still think that there is, you know, sometimes legislators, I can't speak for all of them, but sometimes they will reach out to people who oppose it to see why they oppose it and maybe try to make adjustments to it. I don't necessarily know that that would happen with this specific bill, but I think, you know, the question might come up, does anybody know how the Barbering Cosmetology Board feels about this? Has anybody talked to them? And that's a very simple way of saying, hey, we don't support this, but, you know, if you want to come talk to us, come talk to Frank, type of thing.
Okay. And do we have any rules about if, I'd never thought this would be that important, but if a reporter does reach out to us, just so we know, are we, I mean, we should have a game plan for that too, or do we just, is the game plan, go talk to Frank?
So I can actually, Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, yeah. I can actually address kind of both of those items, and I just keep pressing that button for no reason. I can address both of those items. To this point, we have spoken with one reporter regarding this. It was several weeks ago, shortly right after the bill was introduced. And to be very clear, because the board had not taken a stance, we simply educated them. The question was, well, what does it cost for a license, a makeup artistry license? And we were basically able to respond with, it's not a regulated item. As a matter of fact, it's specifically excluded in the statute. So it was a purely educational. Board did not take a stance. So that brings me to the point of this kind of strategically, in my opinion, and again, I'm not the board member, but I just going to put it out there. I do think it would make sense for us to sign on. I mean, if the board is in opposition to the bill, it does make sense for us to sign on in opposition, because then reporters can see that the board did take a stance, because they can see it in the electronic system. I think it would speak volumes if we didn't sign on, right? And so. So that I think that answers those two items that you had, Member Tarantine.
Thanks, Rick.
Good. Any other questions or thoughts?
If I may, this is Jean Galvin. I'm Frank. I also believe that Chase brought up the fact that if individual board members are contacted by the press, do you have suggestions?
There's that. I will tell you that the media seems to, they go through the agency channels. I'm not aware, but we are happy to provide any, if a reporter were to reach out to you, we would be, by way of Isabella, and I know she's on here, we would be happy to help support that conversation. Or if you just want to direct them to me and Isabella, we can manage that, whatever you all are comfortable with.
That certainly makes sense.
And if I may, to that point, it gets a little tricky when you are a board member and you're contacted by press, unless you have the specific authorization from the board to speak on behalf of the board, it gets a little dicey. And if you want to be sure that, you know, everything is factual and uniform and, you know, consistent, it may be best just to adopt a practice to refer them to Frank and his staff.
Perfect.
That is also my preference, but I don't want to push it too hard with the board. But to Gene's point,
speaking with one voice is smart, so that's perfect.
It just ensures uniform language, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
So good.
All right, are we ready for a motion on board's position on this House Bill 2031 and direction for Frank?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay, will someone make a motion? Trista, do you have a way to word that?
Yeah, I move, Guzman Glover moves to instruct our executive director, Frank McGalley, in signing in opposition to House Bill 2031. Not necessarily signing in to speak against it today in committee, but, you know, obviously that includes deputizing him to speak to anybody who might reach out to him about the board's position about the bill.
Okay. I second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Then that'll be our position. Okay. Frank, did we have another item? Didn't we? Or no? Oh, here we go.
Mr. Bagley, at your request, sorry, I have something in my throat this morning. At your request from Thursday, I believe, you were requesting that the board go into executive discussion regarding the previously agreed upon merit raise from last month. So I believe at this time, if that's what the board chooses to do, that's where we would be at this point.
Okay, good. Yeah, what this is about is we met and made our decision about Frank's pay change based on the merit of his work.
Mr. Bigley, I think because this involves personnel and possibly compensation, and it is set for executive session, we should move into executive session after motion in a second.
Okay, then I move that we go into executive session to discuss a pay item that needs to be dealt with. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Does that motion include possible executive session if necessary?
I think we're going into executive session in order to have this discussion.
It would be for personnel matters that are confidential, yes, and possibly for executive session for legal advice.
I didn't include the legal advice, but that's a good idea. Let's add that.
All right, Member Turrentine seconds the revised motion, if we need to do that.
Perfect. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So we are apparently now in executive session, which is very,
Mr. Chair. I need to make sure that we have the proper personnel in the room. So at this point,